Good morning. Rise for the reading for today. Our reading is from Romans chapter 8, these words. If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the text. Please be seated. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And the future is secure in His name. Amen. Good morning. It is great to be here with you on your 150th anniversary. That is an amazing thing, and we're going to talk about that because even in the first year, they were asking the question, what's coming next? And can we face it? And today we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus Christ forever, yeah, we can face the future in His name. Now, this just came to me, so I'm sorry if it's not all worked out in my head, but this is a great way to commemorate the celebration. It's a wine glass, is that right?
That's what it is.
A stemless wine glass. You're the glass, He's the wine. And He always promises there will be celebratory drink for His people. You're going to come up to this table in just a minute, and He's going to say, take and drink, take and eat. I will never let you down. He is the celebratory drink. You are the glass. And I want you, even when you tip a little wine in your homes, to always remember what's most important is that there's going to be an enduring celebration for you in Jesus, because He just says so in His name. If you're a verse that came to my mind, when He was inaugurating the supper, He said this. He said, take this, divide it among yourself, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus Christ, right before facing the cross itself, He said, drink the celebration drink. And I'm not going to drink it right away, He said, but my kingdom is coming and I'll drink it with you again. Wow. What a great way to never forget 150 years and beyond. All right, so what does the future hold? What does your future hold? You know, today there's a lot of people who won't even ask that question because they're too afraid of what the potential answers might be. Now, right now, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of good things going on in our culture, so we can be thankful for a lot of things that are happening. But no matter what, whether in prosperity or in adversity, there's always someone who's going to say, well, the future is foreboding, it is unsure, it is unraveling as we speak. And they get a listen. I know no matter what's going on in your life today, there's always going to be ups and downs, there's always going to be celebration, there's always going to be hurting. The question that we have to face is, but what does the future hold? Now, when I was thinking about this, I came across a psychology professor at Harvard who did some research on this, and it was amazing what he found. He said he blames people's unhappiness, no matter what the circumstances, on that fact that they are uncertain. They're uncertain of what's coming next. He talked about this health and well-being index, and this is what he said. The index shows that Americans, and this is a few years ago, though, but it's still probably true today, they're smiling less, they're worrying more than they were just years ago. Happiness is down, sadness is up, we're getting less sleep, smoking more cigarettes, are we? The depression is on the rise. Why? Well, here's what was interesting. He found out that it wasn't because people didn't have enough stuff. He said, we actually have money, and even people with money have all these kinds of things. The problem for people was uncertainty. They weren't sure what was coming next. And that so impressed on them that it actually destroyed their ability to rejoice and celebrate life right now. Here's what he said. An uncertain future leaves us stranded in an unhappy present with nothing to do but wait. That's not us. That's not St. John's. That's not God's people. I'm not saying we don't have issues. I'm not saying we don't have problems. I'm not saying we don't have fears. But we don't face those things the way other people do. Because Paul tells us today, look, we can face the future, whatever it might be, Because Jesus Christ has already faced it for us. You guys have been celebrating Jesus Christ the same yesterday, right, today, and what?
Forever.
Forever. So Jesus Christ is not just a Savior who can overcome our past. He's not just a Savior who can deal with our present. He is a Savior because of His death and resurrection who says, I hold the future, and your future in me is sure. Jesus Christ forever, and we can face the future together in Him. Now, the book of Romans was written, and that's where this passage is, Romans chapter 8. It was written to cement God's people, to root God's people, their very eternal lives, in faith in Jesus Christ, because that's what's sure, that's what holds. Paul can say, if God is for us, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus. So if Jesus Christ forever means my forever is sure in Him, shouldn't we kind of brag on Jesus a little bit today? And so I compiled a list of things that we sing. We sing these things in our hymns. You ready to hear what we sing about Jesus? Listen, I'm just going to read them out. It says, this Jesus, He is Christ, mighty Savior. He is Lord, King of Kings. He's the one who breaks the darkness. Liberation is in His wings. He's the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. He's the one who preached the gospel. By His cross, now is day. By His cross, no more night. He's my Redeemer, my hope, my brother, my friend, my Savior, my peace, my joy. He's my courage in times of trouble. He's the light to light my way. He's the strength when I feel weakness. He's the leader into the fray. When facing immovable obstacles, He's the one who makes a way. When overcome with guilt and shame, He's the one to whom we pray. When at wit's end, have you ever been there? Yeah, when at wit's end, there's nowhere else to turn. Be comforted by that Lamb who was slain, who's begun His reign. Now there is no stain, no pain, only gain for all those who are in Him. Jesus is our all in all. When you're only left with Him, you have all that you need for life, salvation, now and forever. And He's the one who says, your future is secure in me. Jesus Christ forever, and our future in Him is secure, it is sure. Faith in Jesus, that's what makes this place what it is. I was thinking about 150 years. I wonder what it must have been like for the folks of that first year. Can you imagine? Because none of this was here, right? Now, I'm in Washington, D.C. now. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no crazier place than to try to start churches and talk about faith in there. Can you imagine? Nothing there. But God says, hang in there, because something's coming. Hang in there, something's coming. Your future's secure in me. And so the people that were here that first year, they had to face that future. And then the 10th year, and then the 50th year, then the 100th year. And now you're here 150 years later, and you're asking the same question. And what's the answer? Faith faces the future with boldness in Jesus. New members, new believers, new buildings, new schools, new leaders, each one of you standing on the shoulders of those who came before you who were saying the same thing. Christ is my forever, and my future is secure in Him. What a day. 150 years. But some of you might be saying, wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, okay, maybe you might be right, or maybe we should think about this thing, but aren't things a lot worse today than they've ever been before? I mean, aren't there uncertainties of the moment and real dangers around the corner? I mean, come on. But as I think about this text, I can be very, you know, honest and real about what's out there. I read the newspapers like you do. I know how unstable our world is. I see the crime. I've served in New York City. I've served in South Central Los Angeles. Now I'm serving in Washington, D.C. I've seen all kinds of nonsense that we can do as sinful people to one another. But don't let those realities tempt you away from the one who faced all those realities for your sake. Jesus Christ didn't just face the problems of our world, he faced the hellish results of those problems, and he overcame them all for us. But Paul says it this way, when you're confronted by the most frightening things in the world, when you're reduced to just you and potentially the love of Jesus, what then? What then? Well, that's when Paul says Christ's love holds on to you, and he will never let his people down. You know, what makes the Lutheran Church unique? I ask this question every time I go to any Lutheran church. Why do you come to this church and not the church down the way? What's preached and taught here that you can't get anywhere else? Well, this isn't Bible class, so I can't take any answers. So I'll just give you the answer right off the bat. We preach a Jesus who loves us by grace through faith, right? He died for us 2,000 years ago by grace through faith. It had nothing to do with us. It had everything to do with how much he loved you and me. Well, here's what Lutherans preach. A lot of churches preach that. But here's what Lutherans preach that even makes that message even more incredible. The same Jesus who came all the way to where you are. He lived your life. He died your death so that he could give you his life. That Jesus who came through the manger, went through the cross, came all the way for you and me, still comes all the way. He comes in words you can understand, words you can read and hear. He comes through water and he splashes his name all over you. He even comes through bread and wine so that you can taste and see that he is good. He comes all the way to where you are right now through the word and the sacrament so you know that he did all of it for you. That's a Jesus that basically the Lutheran Church proclaims, sometimes to the exclusion of all others. Well, all I'm telling you is don't let anybody take that Jesus away from you. And share that Jesus with anyone who asks. That's what finally we celebrate on a day like today. In a world that is uncertain, unsure, that makes us sometimes say, what then? Well, that's when we proclaim this Jesus for all. If God is for us, who can be against us? And what shall separate us from the love of God? So shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famineness or naked or sword? No. In all these things even, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So what then? That's when you proclaim Jesus Christ forever and my future is secure in him. So faith trusts in Christ even as we face the uncertainties of the world. If you remember right after Jesus' resurrection, he still comes to Thomas and he does what? He shows Thomas his scars. He shows Thomas his hands. He shows Thomas his feet and he says what? Stop doubting. Believe. I hold your future too. But he wants you to see those scars. They're real. He faced your uncertainties. He faced your troubles. He faced the punishment of your sin. He even faced hell in your place so that you will never have to face it on your own. Wow. What a Savior. And what a Savior we celebrate today. Now, the last thing I want to share with you today, though, is yes, when we have our own struggles and we're overwhelmed, you know, and when we say, what then? That's when we proclaim Christ. I just want to make sure you understand, it's not just for our convenience. It's not just so that we can overcome our fears. God actually wants us to be people who are fearless in a world that is full of fear. There's more. We're not just supposed to be unafraid of the present. We're not just supposed to be unafraid of the challenges of the future. We are given this confidence in Jesus Christ so we can go out in this crazy world and be his bold, confident people so that others might know that that Jesus is for them. That Savior is theirs too. Into the world, we're called to bring this message of love, which is an incredible message even today. We're called to proclaim the power of faith in Jesus Christ that can overcome anything that is set against us. That's an amazing thing to be given, an amazing trust to be given. And I'm always amazed that God chooses people like us to do this work. Actually, I think he chooses people like us because we're just as broken as everybody else. We're just as in need of this gospel as everybody else. But we're awed by a Savior that we want to share with everybody else. I love this story. I don't know if you guys know who Ravi Zacharias is. He's a pretty incredible teacher of the gospel. I really do enjoy reading a lot of his stuff. He's from India, and he actually talks about how now people of India are sending missionaries to America, because he said that America used to be the light on the hill that proclaimed the gospel. Now he feels like the gospel needs to even be preached into our culture. He may be very right. But he talks about this minister. He told a story about this minister from Iran who overcame his fears one day. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Iran. I've got good friends from Iran. They ran away from the Ayatollahs. They came here because they were yearning for freedom. And we got a chance to tell them about American freedom, but then also the freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ and his cross. Wow. Here was a minister back, though, in Iran, who was dealing with the Ayatollahs and the legalism of that culture. And one day he was stopped. He and his wife were traveling around village to village to share Jesus. And he came up. He said, "Honey, we need to get some water." So the minister pulled in. The pastor pulled into the store, and he was going to buy some water. Well, there was a man standing on the right, leaning against the wall of the store, and he had a machine gun in his hand. But for some reason, his wife said, "Honey, you need to give him a Bible." Something that was heavy on her heart, she said, "You need to give him a Bible." Now, I'm asking you this question. Would you give him a Bible? Now, here's what the pastor, he said, "Honey," he said, "well," she said, "no, you need to give him, I don't know why I'm feeling this, but you need to give him a Bible." And he's like, he's got a machine gun. He said, "Honey," now this is what we pastors tend to do. He says, "Honey, I'll pray about it." And he walked into the store praying about it, and what do you think he decided? No. He walked in, got the water, came out, and she said, "You didn't give him a Bible, did you?" "No. Leave me be," he said. "I prayed about it." He starts driving. She's praying like this now. She's like, "You needed to give him a Bible. I don't know why you needed to give him a Bible." He says, "Okay, enough. I'll go back. If you want me to die today, I will give him a Bible." So they turned the car around, came back to the store. Now, this is a real thing. I mean, his life could have very well been in danger, and he could have died that day. So this was real fear. And he came up to this young man, and he says, "I feel like I'm supposed to give this to you today." And he handed him the Bible. And the man took the Bible, and he started to cry. He said, "Oh..." He said, "I have been on a journey," he said, "3 days ago, I think it was an angel, something said, you must go to this village, you must stand at this place, and a man will bring you a book of life. I have been amidst death all my life," and he said, "so I told this angel, I'll go, and I'll stand there, and now you have given me this." And he opened it up, and he said, "This is what I've been waiting for." And they prayed, and he set him free, and he went back and said, "Honey, you were right." But that day, that pastor swore, he said, "I will never be afraid again. I will never be afraid again." And he preached and taught about Jesus in some of the most dire places, some of the most fearful places. And I hate to tell you this, but he did die a martyr's death. He did die someday at the hand of violence. But he brought thousands and thousands and thousands of people to the knowledge that their future is secure no matter what we face. We get to be those people. Bold, no matter what the circumstances. Confident, no matter what befalls us. Because all believers are not just called to make it through the day. We're called to be useful in Christ's hands to whomever he brings into our lives. So faith calls you to face whatever you're facing today with the sure and certain knowledge that Jesus Christ is forever. And you're forever in Christ. You can face whatever is coming your way. But we don't just face even that for ourselves. We face it even for the sake of others in our lives. We're called to be people of confidence, not confidence in ourselves. I mean, 150 years, you can probably look in some of your history and see that you didn't do everything right here. Right? Yeah. But God still was here. God was working through you, in you, in spite of you, because he's got work to do for all of you. Jesus Christ forever. And our future is secure in him. So my last word for you today is that my prayer is that you would have confidence St. John's confidence, you've seen God at work in your life for 150 years. He's going to be working in your life till you see Him face to face. Confidence that you can face the future, whatever the future brings, because you have this word. And here it is again. If God is for you, who can be against you? No one. Be convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing in this created world will ever separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.